Let us be still together as we come to worship God. The mighty one, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and does not keep silent. Before God is a devouring fire and a mighty tempest all around God. God calls to the heavens above and to the earth that God may judge God's people. Gather to me my faithful ones who have made a covenant with me. Good morning, one and all, and to those for whom it is right, Happy New Year. But for all of us, let's join together to sing How Great Thou Art.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder, hymn number 117.
Thank you.
We join together to pray. Let us pray. Today, Lord Jesus, we choose to spend some time, proper time, in your company. As we keep company with you, our image of you is familiar and reassuring. Yet, into our daily preoccupations, your glory blazes. We know what it is to crave mountaintop experiences, moments of vision and inspiration. Yet when you shine on us, we hide our faces. We want to capture and control your radiance. With our ordered worship and everyday practices, teach us to be still. And with our plans and projects, to know that you are God, and kindle in us the courage to look and listen and to expect moments of meeting with you when we physically cannot meet anybody else. In the heights and depths of life, you are with us. May your radiant presence startle our complacency. May your spirit help us to realize afresh that you are the beloved of God and your words bring life to us all. Open our eyes to see you, Lord Jesus. Open our ears to hear you. And open our mouths to speak your word. At this time when we gather to worship, but every day, Lord, we pray. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. So I invite Sally to lead us.
Good morning, everybody. Good. More and more people are doing that each week. That's good. I'm going to ask Richard if he can share a picture with you, a photograph. Thank you. No, not that one. There we are. That is the Mount of Transfiguration. It's Mount Tabor, I don't know how you pronounce it. Early scholars thought it was Mount Tabor. More recently, yes, Beth, scholars have said that it might be Mount Hebron where the Transfiguration happened. Who knows? But it's the Mount of Transfiguration. And what I would like you to do this morning in the chat function is to look at that photo and describe it to me, but I want you to downplay it, undersell it. So think about how you might undersell that image and just place it in the chat function. So if it had been, say, a picture of Niagara Falls, you might describe it as a bit damp. Something like that. Okay, so let's have a look. Slag heap from a mine. a molehill, featureless hillock, a big hill, bit of a hill, yeah, a mountainous and farmland, a bump, yeah, no trees, it is no heaven, a greenish hump, bit barren, yeah, can be a bit barren actually. Brilliant. Okay, now I want you to a pee on a round of beef. Pee on a round of beef. I'll have to think about that one. A dangerous volcano, it might be, Jack, if you were looking at it like that. Absolutely, it might be a dangerous volcano. Can you look at that image now and big it up for me? So do the opposite. So really overplay it and really sell it to me. Olympus itself. Anyone else? Ain't the mountain high enough? Yeah. Ooh. Humble but strong. Yes, Hill of Kings. Ooh, I like that. Glorious mountain of historical importance. Great view from the top, yeah. Yeah, creation, fantastic. Okay, thank you. Interesting, our language and the way that we perceive things. Today's story is about the Transfiguration, and just notice when you hear the story how Peter, James, John describe the experience of being with Jesus when that happened. Was it overselling it, underselling it, or was it just about right? And just have a think about how you describe your own journey with God as well. Do you undervalue or downplay your experiences of God, or do you sell them and recognize them for the value that they have? So yes, thank you, Leslie. On that note, I'm going to end. Enjoy the reading.
We have two readings with Elijah being the linking. The first, which Brandon Williams will read to us from 2 Kings. There's a Jewish tradition that both Moses and Elijah were lifted up from the earth to heaven, although the Bible only tells of the story of that happening to Moses. Elijah has been a prophet of incredible courage, who has criticized kings and particularly incurred the wrath of a queen, Jezebel. And then from the New Testament, which Catherine will read to us, this is, as you now know, the story of the Transfiguration, setting on a high mountain. Tells the story from Mark's hearers straight away. Something remarkable is about to happen. High mountain, remarkable, something's coming. And God, who has met with Elijah and Moses on the mountaintop. And here we have this story of this encounter. And just appropriate after there's been a story where Jesus has turned the perception of the disciples upside down.
Our first reading is from the second book of Kings, chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. The time came for the Lord to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elijah and Elisha set out from Gilgal, and on the way Elijah said to Elisha, "Now stay here, the Lord has ordered me to go to Bethel." But Elisha answered, "I swear by my loyalty to the living Lord and to you that I will not leave you." So they went on to Bethel. A group of prophets who lived there went to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha answered, "but let's not talk about it." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Now stay here. The Lord has ordered me to go to Jericho." But Elisha answered, "I swear by my loyalty to the living Lord and to you that I will not leave you. So they went to Jericho. A group of prophets who lived there went to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha answered, "but let's not talk about it." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Now stay here. The Lord has ordered me to go to the River Jordan." But Elisha answered, "I swear by my loyalty to the living Lord and to you that I will not leave you." So they went on, and 50 of the prophets followed them to the Jordan. Elijah and Elisha stopped by the river, and the 50 prophets stood a short distance away. Then Elijah took off his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided, and he and Elisha crossed to the other side on dry ground. There Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what you want me to do for you before I am taken away. Let me receive the share of your power that will make me your successor," Elisha answered. "That is a difficult request to grant," Elijah replied. "But you will receive it if you see me as I am being taken away from you. If you don't see me, if you don't see me, you won't receive it." They kept talking as they walked on. Then suddenly a chariot of fire pulled by horses of fire came between them, and Elijah was taken up to heaven by a whirlwind. Elisha saw it and cried out to Elijah, "My father, my father, mighty defender of Israel, you are gone." And he never saw Elijah again.
The second reading comes from Mark chapter 9, verse 2 to 9. The Transfiguration. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain where they were alone. As they looked on, a change came over Jesus and his clothes became shining white, whiter than anyone in the world could wash them. Then the three disciples saw Elijah and Moses talking with Jesus. Peter spoke and said to Jesus, "Teacher, how good is it that we are here? We will make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He and the others were so frightened that he did not know what to say. Then a cloud appeared and covered them with its shadow, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my own dear son. Listen to him." They took a quick look around, but did not see anyone else. Only Jesus was with them. As they came down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has risen from death."
Hello, warmest greetings to you. My name is Leslie Charlton. I am one of the ministers of Kingston Ad Reformed Church. It would be good to get to know you. If we can help you on your spiritual journey, we would be completely up for helping. On this day, the readings that I'm preaching from are Mark chapter 9, verses 2 to 9, and then 2 Kings 2, verses 1 to 12. Please pause, read them, and then come back in. There are high mountain times, times of beauty and times of joy, times of birth, times of novelty, and there are times on the plain, times that are plain. There are times of death and there are times of greyness, and currently we are in the middle of one of the greyness times. And we need to look again at the resources that we put aside at the times on the mountain, and strangely, Maybe fear is one of them. If I keep doing this, I am afraid that she will leave me. Or, I can't stop eating. My husband is my caregiver, not my husband. I am afraid that he will leave. There's nothing wrong with fear so long as we listen to it and act appropriately. However, for too much of the time now, we are fearful and staying in a paralyzed state. And then doing things that undermine our safety. Fear is an overwhelming emotion of this time. It is dangerous and it is contagious. But actually, what are we afraid of? Getting ill? We knew that would happen. Death? Yep, we knew that too. So what is the fear about? And why do we have fear and then do nothing about it? Very odd. We are allowing ourselves to be paralyzed by fear and still breaking the lockdown because we must go to a cafe and we certainly must go to a shop. What strange creatures we are. We have in these readings and the stories of two leaders leaving the earth. Elijah is the link between them. Up on the mountain, the disciples were terrified. That's the message from Mark. They were up in the mountain with Jesus, chosen to go there. After Jesus had prophesied his death and resurrection, after Peter had just said, "Surely not," in response to Jesus declaring about the future, and then told that he was Satan by tempting Jesus. And then something mysterious and beyond words happens, and they are terrified. And yet, is it a bad thing, fear? Fear that prompts us to wise behaviour is surely right. And more than that, the Old Testament is full of the importance of the fear of the Lord. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of God. Psalm 33, verse 8. Eugene Peterson describes fear of the Lord as a positive thing. The thing to remember is a linguistic one. It's not fear of the Lord, it's fear of the Lord. It's one phrase. Fear of the Lord is something is going on here and we don't want to miss it. Eyes open, eyes up. Something beyond ourselves, looking outwards. And for those who would try and explain and dissect the story of the Transfiguration, what is needed is to get in touch with this fear. Fear of the Lord. Something great is going on and it's breathtaking. The story of Jesus with Elijah and Moses on the mountain is a strange one. There is something going on here. This is the Jesus that the disciples have been hanging around with, and now he is revealed to them as something else. Someone, something else. Very different. Fear of the Lord is the cultivated awareness of more and other that the presence or revelation of God introduces into our lives. I am not the center of my existence. I am not the sum total of what matters. I don't know what will happen next. Eugene Peterson. It is the inadvertent wow when something beautiful happens. It is the shock of something which literally takes our breath away. And what message could be more important than that message now? That we are not, we never were, in charge of all that there is in our lives. One of the dangers of Christianity, unlike Judaism and Islam, because of the man Jesus, is that we shrink God. We have Jesus, who is our brother, who is with us day by day, our pal. And yet we also need the breathtaking God. Fall flat on your face. And sometimes you hear people talking about God and the things of God, and one is bowled over by the presumption of the ant talking about the elephant in such a way. We are frail and foolish and know our thinking is limited, and yet here we are defining and denying. It's hilarious. Who do we think we are? Or is it fear? Is what's going on with people actually fear? No one ever told me that grief felt so like fear. I am not afraid, but the sensation is like being afraid. The same fluttering in the stomach, the same restlessness, the same yawning. C.S. Lewis, A Grief Observed, which is the rawest book, and I do not recommend that you read it at this time. Don't read it. Step away. I wonder, though, whether that's in the mix for the disciples. They come down the mountain and someone said, "How was it?" And they don't have the language to say how it was. So they say they were afraid. Maybe it was them articulating their sadness that Jesus was leaving, expressing their grief. Having language for how we are feeling is very sophisticated stuff. For some who are not interested in these matters, they find themselves behaving inappropriately because they are not literate enough to explain what is really going on. And it's a major problem for them and for others. Why are we so angry, so quick-tempered in this time? Why are we so easily irritated? Answer: because we are all bereaved, all of us. At the very least, we are bereaved of normal life and our usual plans. For others, there's the sense of being bereaved of hopes and future opportunities. And for yet others, there's the death of someone that they love. And that includes everybody in the life of Kingston United Reformed Church. Bereavement feels like fear. Then why should we think of it in any way as being positive? Eugene Peterson teaches that when we come across fear of the Lord in Scripture, it is referring and describing to a fear that pulls us out of our preoccupation with ourselves, our feelings, and our circumstances into a world of wonder. It's not dread, it's astonishment. It's not terror, it's reverence. It's not shaking in your boots panic, but enraptured with love fascination. Elijah has prayed that he would die, and the prayer is answered, much to Elisha's unhappiness. And Elisha seems to think that the closer he gets to Elijah, he will somehow prevent this from happening. "Elijah, what do you want from me?" And the answer from Elisha: "I want the oldest son's portion of blessing." And the story goes on that Elisha picks up the mantle and gets on with the work that Elijah has started. Fear is there to motivate behavior. It is a place to visit, but not to remain. The good news is that although fear is contagious, highly contagious, so is calm. How can we be a calm presence in people's lives? That might be the best gift that we can give them at this time, the best example. It's not the same as denying the reality of COVID-19. It's saying, yes, it is. And there are things that we have to do. Do them. And in the middle of that behaviour, be a force for good. For each of us to take our eyes off ourselves is surely good practice. Each one of us is too small to be the centre of our universe. Amen.
We're going to pray. Let's pray. God of glory, we see you in the beauty of the universe. We meet you in the times of love of our family and friends. And we find you in our joys and in our pain, faithful and true. God of glory, we live with so many uncertainties. We pray for people whose lives are always uncertain. For those in the war-torn places of the world. For those who wonder always where their next meal will come from. For those who are jobless and homeless. For those fleeing from domestic violence. Help us to make our church communities sanctuaries of peace and safety. May we be ready to respond to the needs of others so that they may tell their story and know that someone listens and values them. We pray for those situations in the world that need your hope and your healing. We pray for the Yemen, for Russia, for Myanmar, for North Korea, for the United States. We pray for words and actions that are full of hope and not hate, of forgiveness and unity and not division. And we pray that we would all be mindful of the power of words. And when conflict comes, may our words be controlled and kind. God of glory, we thank you for all those in the front line battling with COVID-19, nurses and doctors, and all the ancillary people that make a hospital and a medical practice work. You would give all medical staff peace as they care for the sick, and peace for those who wait as another ends their life. We pray for children with all the discussion about the future and return to school. We pray for the needs of children and young people who will be central to the thinking. And we pray for all who've been kept apart from those that they love. For those in residential homes and care homes, surround them all with your healing presence. We pray for those who had been looking for a new partner, a new opportunity to show and to feel love. And we remember all in our communities who are suffering. Take us beyond our fear, Lord God. Be with us in our sadness. For you are God who comes close to us, though we are apart from each other. Surround us with the light of your presence. Open our eyes and open our hearts. Change and renew us by your Spirit, that we would be more and more like Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Last Sunday, one of the people that was here was June Avery. And Now I have to tell you, brothers and sisters, that she has died. Richard, would you like to put up the picture, please? That's who Jean is. She's known for her talking, for the fact that she's deaf, for her enthusiasm and for her passion with the dancing. And we're going to miss her tremendously. So I ask that you would remember her sons, David and John, in your prayers at this strange time. Would you put the next picture up, please? This is Evelyn White, who is currently recovering well from a fall. She's in hospital. Anybody who knows her and would like her mobile number, that we can supply. Thank you. Would you remove the lovely Evelyn? Thank you. Nigel's funeral tomorrow morning, 11:20, is available. I'll send out the details again today, so nobody can say they haven't had it. Everybody's most welcome. Today we're going to have a church meeting. The main focus for our time together is we're not doing all the business, blah, blah, blah. We want to hear from people and we want to spark with one another to know what we can do to help one another at this season, to spark some creativity. It might just be the conversation is enough. It might be that there are some things that we can do together to support one another in this wacky time. That's the purpose of our discussion. Tuesday, pancake making, 5 o'clock, set up your Zoom in your kitchen. Janine will cook, we'll all laugh at it when it falls on the floor, and then we will make something, bring your toppings, and then we'll eat together. That's the name of the game. So if it's pancakes, then it must be Lent, which starts Wednesday. A golden opportunity to give your liver a break. Or pick up some spiritual practice, join a group. Some sort of spiritual discipline. It might be one for you individually, personally. It might be just a time of quiet. It might be that you need to start putting on some music and doing some dancing, whatever it is. Maybe just think, I'm not going to do this forever. I'll stop at Easter, just for now. But there are some groups happening and I'll send you around details of that. And because we are nonconformists and we can do whatever we like, we're having our 24 hours of prayer starting on Friday morning, going into Saturday. Starts at 6 o'clock Friday morning. Everybody's welcome. If you would like to lead an hour, if you think, well, I could do a bit, or I've got some prayers I could share, or I could do something if somebody would help me, speak to me and we'll see what we can do in terms of crafting it. It's a glorious opportunity to try something. Say you'll volunteer for the 5 o'clock in the morning slot. Try it. I'll be there, but I'm one or two others, but you know what? Do it. We're sending out a suggestion for a piece of work that we're going to build up, squares around flowers, creativity, make something, and they'll be made together into a banner ready for Easter time. The Bible study is changing gear, being through the prophets, Prophet Isaiah, and now moving to Philippians. This week there's a break and it will be a time of meditation. And again, I'll send you the details of that. And I will also be sending you the details for the annual general meeting of Christian Aid. Please come to that if you can. And I hear that the Body and Soul went really well on Monday night. Everybody's most welcome to come along and shake your thing. That's it. Give it some. Everybody put the video off. We're now going to move to our Holy Communion. If you'd like to equip yourself, which I know for some might mean, I'm saying, rush into the kitchen. And then I will dedicate the money that we give, which we know that even though we're not gathering, the work of the church is still ongoing and the gifts of God's people have still to be received and dedicated and the bills have still got to be paid, sisters and brothers. So let us pray. Generous God, we bring our gifts to you with cheerfulness and with joyful hearts. Give us courage that with these gifts we would offer our minds, our bodies, and our spirits ready and willing to show the truth of the gospel in the way that we live our lives. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus was often a guest. He shared many meals with his friends, and they long remembered his words at the table. Though some disapproved of the company that he kept, Jesus ate and drank with all kinds of people and showed everyone the love of God. Wherever people met together, Jesus was glad to be welcomed and to be fed. Today, we are the guests of Jesus. He welcomes us. Whoever we are, whatever we bring, and he will feed us at his table. Old or young, rich or poor, joyful or in sorrow, Jesus invites us to share bread and wine with him, to remember the story of his life and death, to celebrate his presence with us today. On the night before he died, Jesus shared a meal with 12 of his disciples in an upstairs room in Jerusalem. The gospel writers tell us what happened that night. While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink from the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." We are the friends and disciples of Jesus today. He invites us to break bread together, to remember him, and to pray that God's kingdom will come. Let us pray. God of glory, even in these grey times, we give thanks for glimmers of beauty in nature and shining in the arts, for the truth which draws us to understand the world better, and the glimpses of goodness in people we encounter. For all beauty, truth, and goodness find their fulfillment in your surpassing splendor. Especially we praise you for your eternal radiance, bringing the Word made flesh, shining in your Son Jesus, and lighting up our hearts now through the gift of faith. May we, looking to him and being changed into his likeness, reflect your beauty, draw others into truth, and lead them in the way of goodness, that we and all people may praise you for your great glory. Loving God, the world you made is beautiful and full of wonder, and each of us is beautiful to you, and we are wonderful in your sight. Give us the confidence as your creatures to know of the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit in us and in this bread and this wine. In difficult times, Lord, where there is little peace, may we know the embrace of your love. Pour out your Spirit on these gifts. Be at work in this bread and this wine, and be at work in us transform these gifts and transform us for the work of your kingdom, to be signs of light and hope and peace. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the face of death, the Lord Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and shared it with them. In the face of death, the Lord Jesus took wine, a sign and the symbol of his blood that would be shed, blessed it, poured it out, and it was drunk among them. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The body of Christ, the blood of Christ. So let us pray. Lead us, God of surprises, from the mountaintop experience of catching a glimpse of your splendour to living life on the plain, where your presence in the ordinariness of life takes on transforming shapes. Lead us, God of surprises, from a vision of witnesses and the affirmation of redeeming love to a journey that shares the transforming good news of hope and resurrection embodied in Jesus. Empower us, transforming God, to carry and share your vision for the whole of creation, so that we can see. Come and see, come and listen, come and taste. Transform us by the power of your Spirit and let your light shine in and through all we do and all we say, so that the world may believe. Thanks be to God. Amen. I have been working on accompanying us as we sing As the Deer.
You.
So please stay for the church meeting. Your contribution will be most important. And if you can't bear it, but you've got some bright ideas, send them in for what we, not they, we can be doing together. So may God's grace and love fill the earth and also our hearts. May justice flow like a roaring mighty river. May peace descend like a dove upon quiet waters. And may we be mindful always that in God's kingdom, all are welcome. Thanks be to God. Amen.